Glory to you, God, whose power working in us right now is doing infinitely more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. When I was growing up, every Christmas and Easter, we would receive homemade walnut bread made by my paternal grandmother who lived in Pittsburgh. When I was 12 years old, we flew back to Pittsburgh and I met her for the first and the last time. We arrived in time for dinner, so we walked into her house and we ate stuffed cabbage rolls, steamed carrots, mashed potatoes, and homemade strudel. And we were stuffed. And yet there was food left on the table. And so she said, "Didn't you like it? Look at what's left." Well, we loved it. We just couldn't eat anymore. The next morning for breakfast, we had stuffed cabbage, steamed carrots, and mashed potatoes. After breakfast, I asked my grandmother if I could help her get ready for lunch because she said she was going to make some homemade bread. So I helped her. I helped and I learned to knead the bread with my knuckles and then watched it rise. And she, while that was happening, she made homemade soup. So we ate until we were full at lunch. After lunch, I asked if I could help her for dinner. So after lunch, we made homemade walnut bread, which I had never seen made before. And so I helped her knead the dough, watch it rise. The filling went inside, and we had it for dinner that night. When I flew home, I realized I'd spent a week receiving comfort food at every meal because of how she had prepared it. And I recognize now that it was literally soul food. It fed my soul, my spirit. And that's what I hear in today's gospel. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," I think Jesus is the original soul food provider. Jesus trying to feed our spirits, our very souls, with himself. Now, those who had come in this gospel scene asked for more. They were expecting bigger and better physical manifestations of bread. And Jesus said to do the works of God. And so they wanted to see a sign. And I was thinking, well, my gosh, they just saw him feed 5,000. What more do they want? But they had blinders on at that moment and wanted to see something bigger and better. Well, after all, Moses had fed all of the Israelites, not just 5,000. So Jesus said, you know, it wasn't Moses who fed the 5,000, it was God. And in this gospel, Jesus uses the verb gives in the present tense. God is giving bread, always, always wanting us to be fed by soul food. Now, in each Eucharist, there is a point when the priest holds up the host and breaks it. And it's done in silence. It's a holy remembrance when at the Last Supper, the night before he died, and Jesus knew that the kind of life he had led was going to take him to death, took the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body." But the gospel we hear today is many chapters before, and we're hearing Jesus already tell us, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is telling us, "I can be food for your soul." And Jesus is saying to us, not just through bread and wine, but through love. And that's a powerful part of our Christian call. And in our society today, we need to witness Christian love more than any other time I can think of, because the values of society today seem to be into contradiction of Christian values of love. And we hear in Ephesians what that sounds like. In Ephesians, we hear, to each of us, lead a life worthy of your calling, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. My grandmother, whose vocation seemed to be in the kitchen, led a life worthy of her calling. She was humble and gentle. I never saw her rushing to prepare any meal. It seemed that every loaf of bread she made, every dessert she made, she poured love into it. And that's why it became comfort food, food for our souls. In Ephesians, we also read that we are to grow in Christian maturity to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown by every wind of trickery or hardship or the craftiness of other scheming, but we must grow up in every way into Christ. We need to grow up into Christ, becoming all that God has desired us to be from all eternity. And the way Jesus offers is saying to us, I am the bread of life. Whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you are receiving me. Whenever you act in love, you are being me for others. And then we become comfort food in this world and soul food for others. I'm going to read now to conclude a pretty radical poem. It's called Baker Woman God. It's a little abstract, but I'd like you to recognize that God wants and needs us and takes us and tries to transform us and remake us through how we love and how we are loved, and by participating in the transformation that happens to us when we receive bread and wine at Eucharist. And that transformation is so that we can become bread for others. Baker woman God, I am your living bread. Strong brown breaker woman God, I am your low, soft, and bean-shaped loaf. I am your rising bread, well kneaded by some divine and knotty pair of knuckles, by your warm earth hands. I am bread well kneaded. Put me in fire, baker woman God. Put me in your own bright fire. I am warm, warm as you from fire. I am white and gold, soft and hard, brown and round. I am so warm from fire. Break me, baker woman God. I am broken under your caring word. Drop me in your special juice in pieces. Drop me in your blood. Drunken me in the great red flood. Self-giving chalice, swallow me. My skin shines in the divine wine. My face is cup covered and I drown. I fall up in a red pool in a gold world where your warm sunskin hand is there to catch and hold me. Baker woman God, remake me. Amen.